Radio Študent.
Al Mousem Thani. Season 2. All you need to know about refugees' life in Slovenia. كل ما تحتاج معرفته عن حياة اللاجئين. Half English ونص عربي. على راديو الطلاب.
على راديو الطلاب.
Hello, good day, listeners of Radio Student. My name is Jost, and today I will be your host for the 60 Minutes with Refugee. Today you will listen to an interview with a guest from Cameroon. Could you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Dinuya from Cameroon.
But before we start with the show, first we will listen to a song by a classic of American blues, Blind Willie McTell, Traveling Blues.
I was traveling through South America. Walked up to a lady's house, called her grandma. Didn't know her name. Give me something to eat. Walked on down the road. I heard old train getting off like this. I heard old bell ring kind of like this. I went on down. I heard old whistle blow. I heard it said, look yonder. Look yonder at the women, at the women. I went on then, I began to sing to the engineer. Mr. Engineer, let a man ride the blind. Mr. Engineer, let a poor man ride the blind. But I wouldn't mind it, fella, but you know this train ain't mine. I begin to hear the old fella blow a long show. Get away, blow it. And I begin to sing to him one more time. You're the crew fireman, low down engineer. You're the cruel farm, low down engineer. I'm trying to hobo my way and you leave me standing here. Then I go on farther and begin to sing poor boy to him. Begin to smile in my face. Get a fella right all around the world. Get a fella right all around the world. Oh boy, you ain't got no girl. Then I begin to hear him tell me about those cheese and eggs. I want them fixed. I heard him say, scramble down. Scramble down. Scramble down. And I began to hear him tell me about them cheese and eggs. I heard him say, cheese, eggs, dinner, dinner. And I began to tell me about Emre. I love you, Emre. I love you true. Love you, Emre. I'll tell you all I do.
Hi, welcome back to 60 Minutes with Refugee. Today is with me is Dani from Cameroon. You are now 12 years in Slovenia. You were playing football for different clubs. Could you maybe say how did you come to Slovenia from Cameroon?
Yeah, the footballer scouts from Slovenia, specifically from Nok and Domžale. They came home and they were looking for some football players that could come join their club here for the 2008-09 season. And luckily I was one of the two that were selected to come join them here in Domžale.
So scouts from ENKA, from football club Domžale,
yes,
were in Cameroon.
Yeah.
Can you maybe explain to listeners how does this kind of process of football scouting look? How do you then get accepted for to play football for a team and so on?
Well, they came and they watched us play. And they were satisfied with the two of us, what they saw. And then they started the procedure of getting our legal documents that we could be able to join them here. That process took them 3 months. And after that, we had all the necessary documents that were required from us, that we could come to join them here in Slovenia.
And then after this 3 months of processing for documents and so on, you came to Slovenia and started training with Domžale.
Yes, correct.
So how was playing football for Domžale? What position did you play?
I was playing like a striker, or like a second striker. In Slovenia, it's post pizza, something like that, if I say it correctly. Yeah, and it was actually one of the best experiences that I've had here in Slovenia. It was really good. For the first, we had really good accommodation. Everything was really good. You treated us well. And unfortunately, after 6 months of being in Domžale, I had like a really bad injury, and things started going downhill from there.
What happens to so what was what happened after the injury?
After the injury, we went to the ultrasound, and the doctors said I needed 1 month off without playing, which the club said okay, but they were in a rush for me to play. So after every 2 weeks, when they see that I'm doing well on training, I was pushed to play. And each time I go to play, the injury goes back to square one, and I start again from zero. And it continued like that for almost 4 to 5 months, and then the club eventually said they can't have me anymore, that I will have to leave.
So you were they canceled your contract, or the contract was finished?
No, the contract was not finished. They had to cancel the contract due to the fact that I was injured. And they just said I will have to, they can't do anything to help me anymore, that they have given me enough time to get well, which if they could have actually allowed me to rest for the whole month, everything could have been fine. But after 2 weeks, and I'm pushed to play again, and it goes back to zero. So it was just the same thing, time and time again, and yeah, I had to go, they canceled the contract, and I had to leave.
What happened to you when a person does not have any more contract?
Well, at that moment, luckily for me, one of the football trainers that came to Cameroon and brought us here, I called him to say goodbye because I was really prepared to go home. And when I called him to say goodbye, he was at a different club at that moment. And then he said to me, like, no, I don't have to go home if I like, because he was a trainer in Nocatele. He said to me that if I would like to, that he knows I'm very good, I can come to Telia and they will offer me a contract and give me time to get well.
So you started playing with Telia?
Yeah, and then I went to Telia, they gave me a contract, gave me all the time I needed to get well. It didn't take me long, it took me just 3 weeks and a month to a month and everything was fine.
3 months of resting, 1 month, and the injury was better.
Yeah.
How long did you play for Telia?
I played in Telia for a year and a half. And by the last half of the year, I had some problems with my knee ligaments, because when the injury that I had before got well, I had lost some muscles on the leg that supports my knee. So I was having a lot of problems with my knee and couldn't really play. So in Tele, I was the one who actually told them to cancel my contract so that I can go and get well, because it was kind of like looking like the same thing is going to happen all over again, because I rest 1 week, I train for a day and it's back to zero. I rest 1 week, I train for a day, it's back to zero, and time was just going without me having any progress.
Now for Celje, this was your third year in Slovenia, fourth?
My third year in Slovenia, yeah, something like that.
So how many clubs did you play?
Okay, after Celje, when I told them I had to leave, my friend was living here in Domžale, here in Ljubljana, and then I moved with him temporarily so that I can get well, and during that time I looked for a job and I rested for the whole year. I didn't play football for the whole year, and then after that, when I felt that I was back to my physical fitness, the leg was okay, everything was good, then I started looking for where to play. And at the moment, I went to Bravo. At that time, they were in the fourth division.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there and I played there for a few months. And at that time, there was Interblock. They were in the first division. So they saw me playing and they were interested. And after a few months in Bravo, I went to Interblock. I had a contract in Interblock. And then in Interblock, I was there for half a year or more. And unfortunately, the club had to dissolve. The management said they cannot handle the club anymore, so there was no more club, so we had to go. And then that time I moved to Chinuča. This was the fourth league at the time too. And I played there for half a season. Then after that I went to Nokotri Glavkran. At the moment they were on the first division. And I was there for, I think, like 3 years, 4 years, something like that. Then after that, I changed a couple of clubs too. After Triglav, I went to Ivančina Gorica. From Ivančina Gorica, I went to Komenda. And from Komenda to Savakran. And from Savakran to Šentur. That's it.
So you you were playing in many different clubs in Slovenia. What would you say your what was your general experience playing football in Slovenia?
Oh, it was generally it was a good experience. It doesn't matter if the outcome is not as fruitful as I would like it to be, but it was a good experience.
You had you mentioned before that the first club NK Domžale cancelled your contract after the injury.
Yes.
In this way, they kind of lose the responsibility for their players. Do you had similar experience in other clubs?
Yeah, it's a business, and when you're not getting what you want from a product, you're eventually going to say you don't want this product anymore, you know. And yeah, I've had in other clubs after Domžale, I didn't have the similar problem. In Celje, I was the one that decided to leave. And the same thing in Triglav Kranj, I left by myself.
But experience like this is common between in football, between football players in Slovenian clubs, that after injury, that you lose your employer or like this.
Yeah, it's no, it's not common, but probably because the saw that I was on my own and I didn't have anybody that could fight for me, so they could do whatever they wanted to do. You know, if I had like some agents standing behind me, they wouldn't do that because they would be forced to pay you everything before they would do that.
You said that NK Domžale invited you and another person from Cameroon.
Yes.
Do you keep in contact or?
Yeah, we are still in contact, but he's not. He's now living in the UK.
Still playing football or?
No, he's working there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, would you like to add anything?
Well. I would just like to say overall it's a good experience. It doesn't really matter how it turned out, but it's always good to experience things in a different place from home, you know.
So you're still involved in football?
Yes, I'm still involved in football.
So what was the effect of the COVID-19 now on football playing?
Yeah, the effect was right now the trainings are allowed to start back again, but the effect was that there was no playing. We couldn't play, so it was basically a standstill.
Okay, hopefully the season will start normally and so on.
Yeah, it looks like it will, unless something else happens, which we hope nothing else should happen, that things should be closed down. We hope that now that it's slowly getting things open, that it should stay that way and for the best.
Okay, thank you for sharing this. After the music break, we'll talk about you stay here.
Yeah.
Later we talk about the Anglo and Franco phone conflict in Cameroon. Because as we talked before, you have knowledge because you are from Cameroon.
Yeah.
But now a music break, a song by Batu Mentale, Chateau Rouge.
Bakwanga.
back to 60 Minutes with Refugee. Today you're listening to interview with Dani from Cameroon. Currently in Cameroon, or for several years now, there has been a very brutal conflict between Anglophone and Francophone community. As we talked before, you said that the desire for the Anglophone community, which is to kind of have their own ability to govern themselves, to have some kind of independence of the educational system and so on, and the Francophone community, which is the majority, is the acting out state violence against the Anglophone community in a kind of a brutal way, by burning homes,
yes,
killing and so on. Could you maybe explain to listeners of Radio Student more about the happenings in Cameroon?
Yes, of course. This has been going on now for a few years now, that the Anglophone speaking side of Cameroon wants to be their own country, their own government, and be separated from the Francophone side, which made us all together, the country Cameroon. But the current government doesn't want that, and there have been taking violence on the Anglophones in order to shut them down and to keep them from trying to fight to make this happen. It has been really brutal, and it has affected a lot of lives. A lot of people have lost loved ones. There are broken families. For example, my family, they're not together at the moment because my dad had to run away from home when they came. My mom is in a different side of the city. My dad is in a different side of the city. They can't even happen to see each other because of the situation. Her kids have been without school for almost half a year because everything was like in shutdown. No businesses were working, no schools. It was a ghost town. So it has affected a lot of lives in a lot of different ways and in a very bad way.
How large is the Anglophone community?
Well, back home, the Anglophone community is, let's say, 40%, and the Francophone is 60 or 65%, something like that.
This now was happening. It has been happening for several years.
Yes.
Would you say that it's a civil war happening in Cameroon?
I wouldn't say it's a civil war because it's just based on the Francophone, on the Anglophone side. They're the ones suffering all this, because on the Francophone speaking side, there's nothing bad happening to nobody. They're all at peace. So it's just focused on one area where they're the ones paying for everything. You know, they're the ones not having their children going to school, not able, they have lost loved ones, not able to have a normal life. Meanwhile, on the other half of the country, they're having a normal life and everything is going on as if nothing is happening. You know?
Yeah. So the Anglophone community is most suffering now in this conflict.
Yes. Not just most, but a lot. They're suffering a lot because of it.
You said that your family is broken because of this conflict?
Yes.
Would you say what happened?
Yeah, because the government now, they send the troops, the soldiers to the Anglophone side of the country to use force on the people to keep them from protesting, you know, for the rights. And they were taking extreme measures by burning down houses, by killing people, especially the men. And when they came to my city, my dad had to run away from home because they are looking for the men. They know they're the ones that can give them a little threat. The women and the children are left alone. So the men have to run away into forest, to live in the forest. And there are some of them, they are burning down houses. So my dad had to run away and my mom had to go to a different city in the Francophone side so that my kid brothers and sisters could continue going to school, because in the English speaking side there was nothing going on. Schools were shut down, nothing was going on for a very long time.
Do you see any resolve in this conflict in the coming years, or is it getting worse?
Well, at the moment it has cooled down, but about resolving it, I don't think that the present government is going to give in on the demands that the Anglophone side is asking for. I just think that the Anglophone speaking side at the moment, it looks like they are going to accept it for what it is and just live with it as it is. Because the main reason why they started this was because they were demanding for equal rights, of having to be able to have equal jobs and equal opportunities like the Francophones are getting at home, back home. Because the problem is the Francophones are getting 95% of all the jobs. And the Anglophones, after being in school all your life, having your diploma, your masters, you end up without a job. That was the main problem. That's how it started. And most of the developments in the infrastructures, like good roads, you know, with good roads brings opportunities. Companies could come into your city, and most of the good roads, all of them are in the Francophone side. So it's like all the development is based on the Francophone side, and the English speaking side, nothing is. So that was the problem.
If we go back to your life in Slovenia.
Yep.
You have a son in Slovenia?
Yes.
How old is he?
He's 5 now.
Going to school next year?
Yes.
How would you say it's a life of migrants in Slovenia?
Life of the migrants here, like, you mean the life of my son who is born here, or?
I'm asking you in the sense, what would you say about Slovene society, Slovene?
Well, the Slovene society is, how should I say, based on the people, they're a little bit cold, that's like not really open to, you know, strangers. Not they take their time to open up to you, you know. besides that, life here is not... it's okay. The people are okay, some of them. But most of them are okay, yeah.
Also, the state governments is kind of pushing out migrants, I think, in the sense that what we see on the border, the violence again on the Balkan route, yes. It's not changing. The new laws that affect migrant workers in Slovenia are becoming more restrictive. We'll talk about them, about the new amendments to these laws later, but in general it's kind of restricting the access of migrants to their rights, even the most basic rights, such as rights to family reunification and so on. You yourself had a bad experience with the Slovene state. You were in detention in Postojna.
Yes.
You said you were twice in detention.
Yes, twice.
Yeah, so the first time was...
The first time the club delayed to renew my papers. And I got stopped by the police and I went there for... 2-3 days. I was there for 2-3 days and the club took care of the situation. And the second time my papers were finished and I was there for a month.
So as soon as a non-national of Slovenia loses his contract for work, he is in danger of detention, or how is this?
Yeah, I think as soon as you lose the contract and you didn't yet go to apply for the new documents, you're automatically in danger.
When you were in there for, you were in detention for 1 month, how would you describe Postojna?
Well, it's... Nobody wants to be in the... restricted from his rights to go around the way they want, so it's automatically a bad thing for any birdie. But like the situation in there was actually okay. Just that... the officers are not actually honest to those migrants in there, because they actually tell you, give you solutions when you're asking what you was supposed to do to fix your case. They actually give you the wrong information, which they know is going to lead you to be sent home or something.
The detention in the detention center in Postojna was in last year the number of asylum seeker detention increased, and it's become it's becoming more of a repressive institution in Slovenia. Hopefully things will change in the future, and the Slovene response to migration will change in a positive way. You yourself, do you have some words to share?
Well, I just would like that the government would actually give people their normal rights as they are stated in the law, rather than trying to make it more difficult and stressful for them to be able to survive in life.
Thank you for your time today. I wish you all the best in football career.
Thank you for having me.
Now we go to a music break. Kel Asuf Tenere. To 60 minutes with Refugee. For the end, we will share some of the information on the suggested amendments of the law on international protection and the law on foreigners. These laws will be voted on next week. In a general sense, the new amendments are restricting the rights of refugees, migrants, and migrant workers in Slovenia. So if we start with the International Protection Act, these amendments are introducing something called complex crisis. So when the members of the parliament would vote that there is a so-called complex crisis going on at the border, this would then follow up with the effective suspension of a right to asylum. So in this sense, police could legally deny the right to asylum directly at the border. With the current practice of pushbacks, the denial of right to asylum is already happening, but it's kind of a used the right to asylum is suspended by abuse of the readmission procedure, but with this introduction it could lead to legalization of police pushbacks happening on the border. Similar instrument was already proposed before, but it was denied at the Constitutional Court. Another thing the amendments are suggesting, are proposing is the right of asylum seekers to appeal on the higher court when they receive a negative decision, and this negative decision is approved by the administrative court. Administrative court, yes, and negative decision could then be also appealed on the higher court. This was the case. People were able to do this before 2016, but the new amendments would reintroduce this right back. The other thing is that help for integration, the time for the help for integration is reducing from 3 to 2 years. So a person who receives international protection in Slovenia would not be able to receive a subsidy for rent for 2 years, but now only not for 3 years, but now only for 2 years. One of the more worrying changes are the easier conditions for detention of asylum seekers. So this could mean that with the new amendments, could lead to a faster way of detaining asylum seekers, refugees who enter Slovenia. People could be detained directly from the border. And what we have seen in the summer months of the last year could become a more a general practice. This is of course worrying because it's kind of introducing arbitrary detention. The other thing is the law on foreigners. This is especially targeted against migrant workers. One of the main concerns is the changes that would affect family reunification procedures. For example, migrant workers now have to work in Slovenia for 1 year and then are able to start the family reunification if they have enough income to support the members of the family they wish to bring to Slovenia. With the new amendments, this would change that a person has to be in Slovenia for 2 years before he can start such a procedure, and income with which he or she proves that she can support their family members would not include the benefits such as travel expenses and so on, but only the basic income, the basic wage a person receives. This would mostly affect people in production, in construction, which have relative low basic wages but higher benefits. So with the new laws, would substantially reduce the rights of migrants in Slovenia. And in the current political climate, the laws would will probably be accepted, but it would they will lead to further degradation of rights in Slovenia. For the end, this was it for today. Thank you for listening 60 minutes with a refugee. We wish you a pleasant evening. Goodbye.
And Mose Methani. Season 2. All you need to know about refugees' life in Slovenia. كل ما تحتاج معرفته عن حياة اللاجئين. Half English ونص عربي. على راديو طلع.